Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf, which is Pesachim Lamed Vav. We are 6 lines from the top of the Amid, says the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanan, Yochel Yoytzei Adam Idei Chayvasai, B'masa Sheni B'Yushalayim. Perhaps a person can be Yoytzei, the mitzvah of Achilas Matzah, during that first night of Pesach, with matzah produced using Maser Sheni material in Yerushalayim. Talmud Loimar Lechem Oini. The Pasuk describes the matzah as being Lechem Oini, bread of affliction. And we're going to have a drasha that Oini is learned as though it would be Oini with an Aleph, referring to the state of Aninus, when a person is an Oinin after a close relative passed away, a state of grief. So this bread, this Lechem, this matzah, is something, needs to be something that can be eaten at that point. Mishenecha baninus. You can only be yoitze, your mitzvah's matzah, with matzah that can be eaten during that state of aninus. Yotze zeh, as opposed to this matzah, produced with maser sheni, she'enoy necha baninus, el basimcha, that cannot be eaten when a person is an oinin, rather only when he's besimcha, divrei Rabbi Yosi HaGlili. So, according to Rabbi Yosi HaGlili, the words lechem oini, bread of affliction, is indicative of the potential to eat this bread during, even during a time of grief, a time of aninus, as opposed to matzah produced from maser sheni, which is not suitable for aninus, because as Rashi brings, lo yachalti bo'ini mimenu, the pasuk says you cannot eat maser sheni when a person is an oinin. Needs to be besimcha. Therefore, matzah's mitzvah cannot be produced with this type of material. Rabbi Akiva Omer, matzah's, matzah's riba. We find several references to the word matzah's, and that's coming to include even this type of matzah produced with matzah sheni. Im keima tamad loimah lechem oini. That's the case. What does the Torah mean? Lechem oini. The lechem is meant to be bread of anius, of affliction. It's coming to exclude matzah made from an isa, a dough produced using wine, oil, or honey. So being that was enriched, it's not just your basic ingredients of bread and water, it has the wine, oil, honey, that's no longer considered lechem oini. So Kojo Bekiva, lechem oini means bread which resembles a poor man's bread, made of just plain ingredients, flour and water. But once it's enriched with all these other ingredients, that's called matzah ashira, and no longer can be used for mitzvah's matzah. My time with Rabbi Akiva. Now, why did Rabbi Akiva disagree with Rabbi Yosi HaGlili's drasha, who darshan lechem oini, that needs to be something that can be eaten be'aninas, miksiv lechem oini? Take a look at the spelling. Ayin nun yud. It doesn't say oini. Oniksiv. So you can't use it for oini, that it's something that needs to be eaten. Also ba'aninus ba'oini. It says oni. We look at the spelling, and therefore, it's coming to teach us there has to be a lechem of oni, a poor man's bread, rather than referring to aninus, which is oini. Rabbi Yosi HaGlili responds, mi karin an oni? Fine, you're right. The spelling is ayin nun yud, but how do we read it? The nekudos are oini. Oini karinan. Therefore, he prefers to use a drasha, which makes use of the kri, of how you read the word. So lechem oini is coming to teach us that it needs to be something that can be eaten when a person is ba'oini, ba'aninos. Rabbi Akiva, fine. So what does Rabbi Akiva do with the reading? True, it's spelled ayin nun yud ani, indicating a poor man's bread. But what does he do with the fact that we read it as oini, lechem oini? Hayde karina be'oini. The reason why we read it as oini, because the Shmuel is coming to teach us, as Shmuel said, damar Shmuel lechem oini, lechem she'oinin olav dvarim harbe. The matzah is a lechem which you call out on it, in its presence. Many words, Rashi says, the Haggadah, the Halal, which are recited in the presence of the matzah. In fact, we say matzah zushal ne'ochlam, etc. So that's what the pasuk means. Lacham oini aniya, calling out, answering words in the presence of the matzah. So according to Rabbi Saglili, we focus on the kri, the way the word is being read. Lechem oini, so although it's an ayin, but we darshan as though would be an aleph, and it's teaching us that the matzah needs to be something that can be eaten be'oini, when a person is in a state of anidus, as opposed to matzah sheni, which is not suitable for that moment. According to Rabbi Kiva, we focus on the ksiv, on the spelling, ayin, nun yud, lechem oini, poor man's bread. It needs to be strictly flour and water. We also darshan from lechem oini, she'oinin olav varam harbi. But the primary drasha is the ksiv, the way it's written, ayin nun yud, lechem oni, poor man's bread. Secondary drasha is oini, she'oinin olav varam harbi. Rather than darshan, oini, like Rabbi Saglili, which sets the primary drasha on the way it's read, rather than the way it's spelled. Let's take a look at Rashi. Five lines from the top. So this is basically Rabbi speaking, that lechem oini comes to teach us mishenechal baninus, shemuta lo'echlek shu'oinin, something that a person could eat when he's an oini. Droish bei lechem oini. So according to Rabbi Saglili, we focus on the way it's read. So oini, and it's as though it would be an aleph, because aleph and ayin come from the same place in the expressed, is very close in expression, close in sound. So although it's spelled ayin, we read it as though it would be an aleph oini, and only something which can be eaten when a person is an oinin, as opposed to maser sheni. Umaser sheni ein enechal baninus, tachsiv lo yachalti boini mimenu. And Rabbi Kiva responds, well, miksiv oini? Does it then say oini bevav, ayin vav nun yud? No. It doesn't say that. Miksiv oini bevav, detishma minei oini? It says oni. So the primary drasha is, based on the spelling, which is oni, it's meant to be a poor man's bread, made of simple ingredients. The fact that we read it, lechem oini, that's a secondary drasha, in olav, shegoyrim, goyimrim olav as a halal. We read the halal, v'oyim olav hagod. So according to Rabbi Saglili, the primary drasha is based on the kri, the way it's read, oini, something that can be eaten when a person is ba'oini, as opposed to ma'aseh sheni, whereas according to Rabbi Kiva, the main drasha is the ksiv, ayin nun yud, lechem of an oni, simple ingredients, and the secondary drasha is based on the reading, which is the oini, lechem oini, ayin olav, dvarim harbi. And according to Rabbi Saglili, ma'aseh sheni cannot be used for matzah mitzvah. According to Rabbi Kiva, there's no drasha to be ma'id, and therefore, according to him, it's kosher for matzah mitzvah. Continues the Gemara. V'savar Rabbi Kiva, isa shenei loisha, b'yayin v'shemen advashloi. Is that so? That according to Rabbi Kiva, dough produced using wine, oil, and honey is unsuitable for matzah? V'atanya, ein loshen isa v'pesach. One cannot produce a dough on Pesach, b'yayin v'shemen advash, v'imlosh. But if he did, if he kneaded the dough using these materials, what happens? Ram gamlei lamit tesaref miyad, need to burn immediately. Rashi explains, although may peris, such as wine, oil, and honey, doesn't have real ability to make true, high-quality chametz. Nevertheless, it's going to make chametz nuksha, inferior-quality chametz, and that's going to happen very quickly. So according to Ramlil, it needs to be burnt immediately. There's no time to waste. You can eat it. So Rashi explains, according to them, you can make sure it doesn't become chametz. As long as you haven't noticed any signs of chimutz, go ahead and bake it, then you're okay. V'amar Rabbi Akiva, he's coming to prove that you can go ahead and produce matzah using these types of liquids. In fact, Shabasi Haisa, Rashi says, Shvisasi Haisa, meaning I had a turn to spend Pesach serving over there Eitzel Rabbi Lezer Bishua, and what I do? V'lashti lahem isa b'yayin v'shamar advash. And in fact, I produced a dough using wine, oil, and honey. V'lo yamru li dava, and they didn't object. Apparently, it's okay. There's no concern about expedited chimutz. Now, v'afal pish ein loshen mekatan boy. Continues the Braisa, even if you hold that you can't actually produce the dough using these liquids, but makatumba, you can use them just to smear the dough prior to baking. Asol Tanakama, this is in line with Tanakama, Rav Gamliel. Although you can't actually produce your dough with these materials, but you can go ahead and smear it, that's not going to create a chametz concern. No, it's one way or the other. Es shaloshim by mekatim by. The material that you can use for lisha, you can use for kitav. Ve'esh ein loshim by ein mekatim by. What you cannot use for lisha, you can't use for smearing. It's either one way or the other. Either use it all the way, or refrain from use at all. One more thing, says the Braisa. V'shavin, now all agree. Shein loshin es isha v'poishrin. You can't produce dough using lukewarm water, which will expedite the chimutz. Okay, so in any case, we see that according to Rekiva, producing a dough on Pesach using May Peres is fine, is okay. In contrast with Rabbi Kiva, who told us earlier, Lechem Ayini, it needs to be something which resembles a poor man's bread. You can't make Matzo Ashira. Like Kasha, the answer is very simple. Habiyam Tav Rishon, Habiyam Tav Sheni. Rabbi Kiva was speaking about bread, matzah, produced in honor of the first night, Leil HaSeder, where there's a mitzvah to eat Be'erev Teichlu Matzis, it's Chayva. So that matzah has to be Lechem Ayini. As opposed to the Braisa, where Akiva describes himself making this matzah using all types of liquids, which is not in reference to the first night. And therefore there's no concern, because as long as it's not chametz, you're okay. It doesn't necessarily have to be lechem ayini. Kede amalu Rabbi Shua l'bnei, as Rabbi Shua told his sons, yoy makama for the first day, lo yitzalusha li b'chalba, don't knead the dough in milk. But from there on in, you can knead the dough with milk. Vatanya says the more, one second. You can make matzah, you can make bread, which has milk. You can make milchic bread. Vatanya, we learned to the Braisa. One cannot produce the bread dough with milk. Vim losh, if he did that, kolapas asura. The entire bread is awesome. Nehe galavera, concerned that he might eat it with meat. So how can one go ahead and produce bread which has milk in it? Elachik Amar, this is what he meant to say. Yoyma kama lo yitzalusha li bedovsha. For the first day, don't make matzah with honey. So instead of milk, it was actually honey. Mekan ve'elach. But going forward, lushli bedovsha, produce my matzah with honey. V'ba yisem an alipshat. Lo ilam b'chelva. Certainly we're speaking about milchic bread. So use milk to produce that matzah. Could Amar Ravina can tour a shari, just as Ravina told us elsewhere that he's only going to make a small size bread. Actually, it says can tour like the eye of an ox, meaning just a very small amount, which can be eaten very quickly. That's allowed. Hachanami here as well, can tour. You're speaking about this size bread, which will be consumed soon after the baking. So there's no concern about forgetting that it's milchic bread and having it eaten with meat, there's no concern, because it's going to eat them fairly quickly, and therefore it will be okay. So at this point we learned that when it comes to Maaseh Sheni, Rabbi Yitzchak Lili says, we learn from Lechem Oini, it needs to be something Nechal Be'aninus, as opposed to Maaseh Sheni, which can only be eaten B'Simcha, so you cannot be Yoytze your Chayves Matzah, if it was produced using Maaseh Sheni. According to Rabbi Akiva, it's perfectly fine, because according to him, we don't have the drasha of Lechem Oini to exclude the Maaseh Sheni. Rather, Lechem Oini is coming to tell us it has to be pure matzah, something which resembles a poor man's bread, made from just flour and water. And as the Gemara concluded, of course this only applies the first night, but throughout Pesach, of course, you can eat enriched matzah without any concern. And Rabbi Kiva is following Shitas Rabbanon, who say there's no concern of chimutz, of expedited chimutz when we use meperus, in contrast with Rabbi Gamliel, who says that if a person produces dough using these types of liquids, you have to burn it, because meperus will expedite the chimutz process, and we're concerned about immediate chimutz. We concluded regarding producing bread with milk, if it's small in size and will be consumed immediately, there's no concern about inadvertently eating it with meat. Continues the Gemara. V'shava. Now, all agree that a machlekes regarding using made peiros, right? You can't, you could, but all agree. You can't produce that dough using lukewarm water, which carries a concern of expedited chimitz. Why is it different than menachis, where they're also not meant to be chametz? We have the same chametz concern, but still we find that they would actually produce the mincha using lukewarm water. This non kol menachis nigloishes v'peishen. So they're needed using lukewarm water. As long as he stands there, stands on guard, making sure that he doesn't notice any signs of chametz here. So why, when it comes to a person's private bread baking process, well, we don't allow a person to use lukewarm water on Pesach? Says the Gemara, im amru bezrizin, because if this was allowed, this was said by the menachis, which are produced by who? By the kohanim, who are diligent, conscientious, they're knowledgeable, they're careful. So over there, we're not concerned. They'll make sure that it doesn't come to chimitz. Yoimru b'shein zrizin. Can you apply the same thing to an ordinary person, a non-zoris? We're concerned if we allow him to use lukewarm water, it's going to turn to chametz very quickly, without him noticing, without him paying attention. Says Morihachi, if that's the case, that by a mincha there's no concern of chimutz because of the zrizim element, miltus namilotus. Why can't we allow him to soak the grain? Rashi explains that they would take kernels of whatever it was, the chitim, the seirim, and first soak it in water to loosen it up, and then they would slightly crush it to separate the skins of the kernel, the bran, etc. This way we have pure kernel, we take it to the mill, which produces high quality flour. It says the Gemara, if we're speaking about the mincha, which is produced by the zrizim, and therefore there's no concern of chimutz, why can't we allow it to be licensed, to soak it? Alama Omar Bzeira, Omar Rabba Bar Yomi, Omar Shmuel, Chitin Shel Menacha is Ein, Licensed in Isa. The wheat kernels of Menachis, we don't soak it. We're concerned about it becoming chametz, which is asur by a mincha. So why is this different than the earlier halacha when it comes to lukewarm water? We're not concerned. Since there's reason, we allow them to use this type of water. Why is lasisa different? Says the Gemara, Elisha bizrizin isa. The kneading process takes place with zrizim. However, lasisa less of bizrizin. The lasisa process takes place when the czar does it at home. What does he bring to the Beis HaMikdash? A finished product, flour, which already underwent the process of lasisa, of grinding, and since it's a non-zoris who's involved, it's just an ordinary person, a non-kayin, we're concerned about chimutz, and therefore we understand that the chitin, which are going to produce the mincha, cannot be soaked. V'lisha mi'isa bezrizin? Is that the case that the lisha is always done by the kohanim? V'oksiv v'yatzuk alei shemen v'aviyah l'kohanim. And Rashi explains that there are several menachis which were actually baked before the avoid in the Beis HaMikdash. Menachas mafei taner, the menachas machmas. So first they would knead it, and as we said, they could knead the dough even with paishra and lukewarm water. They would knead it, they would bake it, then they would crumble it up and add some oil, yitzika and belila, mix it with oil, and then the kohen would get involved with his kmitza. So this is learned from the pasuk. V'yatzak l'Hashem v'goyim v'viel ha-kohen. We learn from there mikmitza v'elech mitzvas kuna. The kohen only gets involved from kmitza and on. Limei, this teaches us, al yitzika belila shiksherim chaladim. The yitzika, the belila, everything until that point can be performed by anybody, including the Elisha. So how can we allow Elisha to employ Peshrin water, which entails a concern of chimutz, if it's going to be done by the Yisrael, who's not a Zoris? So the more Elisha need, there is reason less. Certainly you're right. Although Elisha perhaps was not done by the Zrizin, by the Kehanim, It was done by the Yisrael, by the owner. But where was it done? B'makim is reason Issa. It was done in the place of his reason, in the Azara. The Gehanna would look over their shoulder and give him instructions. Make sure he's doing it right. So there's reason all over the place. And therefore there's no concern of chimutz. D'omar mar, b'li l'ksher b'zar. True, mixing the oil, that's kosher with azar. But chumutz l'chumutz azar p'sula, but outside of the azar it's possible. So since it was done in the presence of Kehanim, who would look over to it and see what he's doing, make sure that he's doing it properly, therefore there's no concern of chimutz. When it comes to lisha, it could be done with patient, as opposed to the lisisa, the soaking, where is that done? La foki lisisa, the end of his reason. Not only isn't it being done by his reason, it's being done by the owner. V'loi b'makim his reason, nor is it being done in the place of his reason. Because that he does at home. He brings the ready-made flour to the Beis HaMikdash. After it has undergone the lisisa, therefore concerned about chimutz. So again, when it comes to using pashrut, lukewarm water, so a person on his own should not use lukewarm water, but when it comes to the mincha, where the lisha is going to be taking place in the makom's reason, although not by the kohen himself perhaps, but in the presence of kohanim, that alleviates the concern, and therefore it can be done, as opposed to being loises, soaking the grain, which is done outside the Beis HaMikdash. It involves non-Zrizim individuals, so concerned about the possibility of chimutz, and therefore the chitin of menachos should not be soaked prior to use. Says the Gemara, u'mayishno mincha so'emer. Why is this different? The mincha so'emer, the sanya mincha so'emer, loises in oisa. First they soak it, v'tsoivin oisa, and then they pile it up to have the liquid trickle down. Didn't we just say that lesisa is not to be applied even by menachos? Tzibur shani, mincha so'emer is a public carbon. As Rashi explains, the bezins evolved, they struck. Every step of the way, they're there, unseen, and make sure that things are done properly, and therefore there's no concern of chimutz. So your typical mincha, which is not done under the instructive bezin, we're not meant to do lisisa, but when it's a carbon tzibur and bezin is involved, there's no concern of chimut, nefer lesisa is allowed. Tana Rabbanan. So we learned earlier regarding Maaseh Sheni, according to Beis Haglili, it cannot be used for Matzah Mitzvah. We learned from the Pasuk Lecham Oini, something which cannot be eaten baninos, is excluded from Matzah Mitzvah. Whereas according to Rabbi Kiva, it's kasha for Matzah Mitzvah, he doesn't have that drush. Says to him, well, what about using Bikurim to produce your matzah? Tana Rabbanan Yochel. Perhaps a person could be yotze by eating matzah produced from bikurim. We learn from here, matzah hanachelas b'chol meshvei seichem. You know when matzah is kasha? When that matzah can be eaten in all your places of residence. Yotze bikurim, as opposed to bikurim, she'ein echol b'chol meshvei seichem, ela b'yushalayim. Bikurim can only be eaten in Yerushalayim, therefore it's unsuitable for Matzah Mitzvah. Divrei, Rabbi Yosi Aglili. So he discounts Matzah Sheni and Bikurim. Rabbi Kiva Omer, I have another drasha to teach us that Bikurim cannot be used for Matzah Mitzvah. Matzah Omer. We find that Pasuk connects Matzah to Marim. The Pasuk says, Al Matzahs Umeroyer Miachlu. Therefore we draw a parallel. Ma Marer Sheni Bikurim, just as Marer it's not going to be Bikurim. You can't bring lettuce for Bikurim. It's only from Shiva Saminim. Af Matzah Sheni Bikurim, likewise. Matzah is only kosher if it is not Bikurim material. Let's take a look at Rashi. Three lines from the bottom. So perhaps it can be Yotze using matzah made from Bikurim, says Rashi, Bikurim Kigoin, Koin Shevi Lechitim, Bikurim Yerushalayim. The Koin uses the chitim that was brought to him in Yerushalayim. Says Rabbi Segli, no, it can't be used for matzah. Why? Because b'chol mashvei seichem and bikurim is ein achol el b'yishalayim shenema loisucha lecha b'shorecha v'amar trumas yotcha lebikurim. So we have one pasuk which discusses maser and also concludes with trumas yotcha, which is in reference to bikurim, because by bikurim we have the pasuk of v'loka chatana miyodecha. So the bikurim can only be eaten in Yerushalayim. That's Rabbi Yisrael Glili's source for this halacha. Rabbi Kiva responds with another source. Matzomer. Hikishan akosav. Torah connects the two things. Al matzah shamarer. We learn from there that just as mar inevitably won't be bikurim, mar any bikurim does not. Ein mevim bikurim el mizayin minin. Dechsiv me'artzacha. Mishvach artzacha. He meant to bring the species which highlight the prominence, the significance of Eretz Yisrael, which is Shivas Amin. But Menachas Perakol Karbonis. Come on, Berak Mokam Nagel. So Bikurim are only the Shivas Amin. So Marr inevitably won't be Bikurim. Likewise, Matzah cannot be produced from Bikurim. Continues the one at the bottom line. Ima Marrish ein Bemina Bikurim. Okay, so if you're connecting Matzah to Marr, perhaps let's connect it all the way. Draw a complete parallel. Just as mar is something which the species used for mar, the variety, the vegetable, cannot be bikurim. Ein bemina bikurim. You can't make bikurim from this type of variety. Af matzah she'ein bemina bikurim. Likewise, matzah needs to be something she'ein bemina bikurim. That bikurim cannot be brought from this type, from this variety. So the only thing used for matzah is something which can't conceivably be used for Bikurim. If that's the case, let's exclude wheat and barley. Sheyesh v'yinim Bikurim. Wheat and barley can be used for Bikurim. Perhaps it's unsuitable for matzah's mitzvah. So if we connect matzah to mar, let's go all the way and only use something which cannot be used for Bikurim. Talmud Lema, matzah is riba. Plus it mentions the word matzah several times. It's coming to be marbe, making matzah from all types of grain, as long as it's not actually bikurim. So on the one hand we say, well, bikurim can't be used, but if it's not really bikurim, just a type of grain that can potentially be bikurim, that's okay. Says, how do you know? E matzis matzis riba. The pasuk is coming to include afilu bikurim nami. Perhaps it's going to include even actual bikurim. How do you know to split it? This yeah and this no. How did Rabbi Akiva? Indeed, Rabbi Akiva reverted. He was chayde from this drasha, and he no longer learnt this halacha from the fact that the Torah connects matzah to mar. Actually, he learnt it from the same pasuk. As Rabbi Yisrael Glili, from Bechomash V'Seichem Teichel Matzahs, you can only be yotze with matzah that can be eaten in all your places of dwelling, as we're going to see in the upcoming brisa. The Sanya. We have a brisa which learns this halacha from Bechomash V'Seichem, and the Gemara proves that the man the Omer of this brisa, in fact, is Rabbi Akiva. The Sanya. Yochel yotze Adam yidei chavase bebekurim. Perhaps a person can be yotze with matzah produced from Bikurim, Tamad Loima, B'chol Moish V'Seichem Teichel Matzahs. We learn, Matzah HaNecheles B'chol Moish Shavis. Only matzah which can be eaten all over. Yotzu Bikurim, as opposed to Bikurim, She'ena Necholim B'chol Moish Shavis. It can't be eaten all over. Ela B'Yushalayim. So this teaches us that matzah's mitzvah can only be produced from a non-Bikurim material. If that's the case, Yochel, Shani Moitzi, Af Maser Sheni, perhaps even Maser Sheni, which had already entered Yerushalayim, it was already brought into Yerushalayim, in which case it can no longer be taken out of Yerushalayim. Rashi brings a Gemara that mechitza liklet, the mechitza of Yerushalayim is koilet, it catches the maser, it can no longer be taken out. So perhaps this type of maser sheni, which was already present in Yerushalayim and can no longer be taken out, so now it has limited eating abilities. It can only be eaten in Yerushalayim, but not in the other Meshavis. So perhaps that also cannot be used for matzah. Yochel shani moitzi af maser sheni, right? Because the pasuk told us it needs to be something eaten all over the place. So just as we might be kurim, which are limited to Yerushalayim, perhaps this specific type of maser sheni, which was already in Yerushalayim and is now limited, can only be eaten in Yerushalayim. Perhaps that cannot be used for matzah. Tamad loyma matzis riba. Once again, we have a drasha to include even this type of matzah. Umar rois. Now, we have the pasuk of Bechol Moish V'Seichem, which indicates that only something which can be eaten in all your places of residence is kosher for matzah. We have a pasuk which is an inclusive pasuk. Matzis to be marbe. How do you know which way to go? How do you know to include Maser Sheni and to exclude Bikurim? And not all the way around. Says the Gemara, Mar Bani Maser Sheni, Sheish Leheta B'chol Mei Shabbos. The reason why I chose to include Maser Sheni, that's because, technically speaking, even the Maser in Yerushalayim still has an option of being eaten outside Yerushalayim. If it gets Tomei, Keter B'leza, as we're going to see soon. Therefore, we chose to include that. Matzis Matzis Riba is applied to Maser Sheni because even if it's already in Yerushalayim, there's still a way to eat it outside Yerushalayim. Umoitziani Bikurim, as opposed to Bikurim, which is excluded, Sheim Lein Het B'chol Mei Shabbos. There's no way for them to be eaten outside Yerushalayim. So we had one pasuk, which is excluding, one pasuk, which is including. We chose to apply the exclusion to Bikurim, which are really limited only to Yerushalayim, and to apply the inclusive pasuk to Maser Sheni, which technically can still be eaten outside Yerushalayim. Domar Blazer, Minayin Maser Sheni Shenitma Shepoidin Oisna Afibul Yerushalayim. From where do we know that Maser Sheni, which is even in Yerushalayim, can be redeemed if it became Tamei? Particularly, it says, if a person finds himself at a distance from Yerushalayim, the pasuk says, you can be poided the mice. Says Rabbi Lezer, although technically the simple meaning is, you're far away, you can't carry it, but we use a drasha, that se'esoy is in reference to the inability to eat it. It became tummy, you can't eat it. The term se'es is in reference to eating. This was Yosef who handed portions of food to his brothers. So you see that masois is in reference to eating. The pasuk is informing us that even if he's in Yerushalayim, he's not far away, he's in Yerushalayim. But if this masa should become tummy and can no longer be eaten, he can go ahead and pay the Maser Sheni. So we find that Maser Sheni, even Yerushalayim, has the allowance to be eaten outside Yerushalayim. If it gets tummy, he can be paid it. That explains why we chose to apply the Riboy to Maser Sheni. This is Rav Akiva speaking, as we're going to see in a minute. And you can produce matzah from Maser Sheni, but not from Bikurim. Now, how do we know Bikurim is off the map? Because B'chol Mashvei Seichem tells us that only something which can be eaten all over is kasha from matzah, as opposed to Bikurim. Now, who is this man d'omar? Who's the author of this price? Man shamas le d'omar, but Maser Sheni nafek be. Who's the one that holds it can be Yosef of Maser Sheni? We had a machlekes in the beginning of the daf. Rabbi Yisaglili says you can't. Rabbi Kiva is the one who says you could. So who is this man d'omar? Apparently, Rabbi Kiva. So the man d'omar of this price, who allows Maser Sheni for matzah, is Rabbi Kiva. V'kamemayit lo lebikurim mechol mashveseichem. And from which pasuk is he memayit bikurim? Not from that hekesh of matzah mar, like he said earlier. Rather, from the pasuk of mechol mashveseichem. Shema min ahadabre. Apparently, Rabbi Kiva himself was chayze. He no longer sourced the din of bikurim from that hekesh of matzah mar, perhaps due to the kasha that we asked. Rather, he reverted over to the limud of Rabbi Yosef Lili. We learned this from Mechamash Veseichem. Matzah can only be produced from something that can be eaten all over the place as opposed to Bikur. Okay, so conclusion, when it comes to Maser Sheni, for Matzah's mitzvah, Rabbi Yosef Lili says you cannot use it because Lechem Oini is to be something that's Nechal Baninas. Rabbi Kiva says it's kasha for Matzah's mitzvah, but all agree that Bikurim material cannot be used for Matzah's mitzvah, B'chol Mashvei Seichem, it needs to be something that can be eaten in all your places of residence. Now, Rabbi Yisrael Glili also learned Bikurim from B'chol Mashvei Seichem. Says the Gemara, why did Rabbi Yisrael Glili have to find another pasuk to exclude Bikurim? Why couldn't he use that same pasuk that he used way back in the beginning of the Gemara to exclude Maser Sheni? Lechem Oini, right, as opposed to Maser Sheni, which can't be eaten by Aninas, he could have used that same pasuk to rule out Bikurim as well. The Gemara is assuming that Bikurim also need to be eaten in a state of Simcha. So lechem oini cannot be produced from bikurim. Rabbi Yosi Aglila says the Gemara typically lechem oini. Why couldn't he derive the bikurim limitation from lechem oini? Mishenechal ba'oini. Matzah mitzvah can only be produced from something that can be eaten in a state of aninus. Yotze zeh, as opposed to bikurim, shei nechal al besimcha. Says the Gemara, so will Reb Shimon, because he held like Reb Shimon, that in fact bikurim can be eaten even when a person is an oinen. The sanya bikurim asur in loinen, Reb Shimon amatu. And therefore, Reb Yosi Aglila had to find a different address, a different makor, to exclude bikurim from matzah mitzvah. He couldn't apply the pasuk of be'oini because bikurim can be eaten by aninus. Therefore, he needed the other pasuk of v'chomash esech. So according to Tanakama, bikurim ha'asa lo'oinen, according to Reb Shimon Tzibot, my time of the Rabbanon, t'chziv lo'isucha lecha b'sharecha, and the pasuk continues there, u'trumas yotcha, so the pasuk begins with maser, and concludes with truma, v'amamar trumas yotcha is actually in reference to bikurim, elu bikurim. The iskash bikurim l'maser. So in the very same pasuk we have bikurim and maser. Ma maser, just as maser sheni is asa lo'oinen, as Rashi brought earlier, achalti ba'inim imenu, af bikurim asa lo'oinen, same thing applies to bikurim. So bikurim needs to be eaten in a state of simcha rather than aninus. Reb Shimon, he disagrees. Truma kirin rachmana, we find that the pasuk here refers to bikurim as truma, truma siyotcha, and therefore we draw a parallel, we connect it to truma. Truma, ma truma muteres loinen, just as truma is mutaloinen, af bikurim mutaloinen, likewise bikurim mutaloinen. Says the Gemara, okay, Rabbi Kiva nehi the hekesh lesle. True, Rabbi Kiva doesn't have the hekesh, which teaches us that truma, which is bikurim, is like maser, and therefore just as maser cannot be eaten be'oinen, likewise bikurim. Fine, he doesn't have that hekesh. Simcha miya michtav ksivabu. But nevertheless, we find that the term, the reference to simcha, is stated in the context of bikurim, dechsev, v'samachta b'chalatoiv. So we find a reference to simcha by bikurim. Sakun Reb Shimon allow an oinen, who is in a state of aninus and grief, to eat that bikurim. Ha'hulis man simcha da'asa, that pasuk, v'samachta b'chalatoiv, is not in reference to the eating of the bikurim, rather to the time, the season. The zman simcha of the year, that is the time which is suitable and appropriate for bringing and reading the parsha of bikurim. A time when a person reaps his crop, he harvests his grain, it's a time of great simcha and joy. Then you turn to Hashem and express your gratitude, HaKadosh HaTov. Bring that bikurim and express the gratitude by reading the parsha of bikurim and thanking Hashem. So v'samachta b'chalatoiv is coming to teach us that during the point of the year, during that period of simcha, you meant to go ahead and read the parsha of HaKadosh HaTov, of gratitude to Hashem, when you bring the bikurim. How does man simcha das? That's not. Me'atzeres v'adachag, from Shavuos until Sukkos, maybe bikurim. That's a true zman simcha, time when the farmer is harvesting his crop, he's collecting his produce. It's a time of simcha, of great joy and happiness. You bring the bikurim, and you are koyer, you recite the parsha, in which case you express your gratitude to Hashem. Me'achag v'ad Chanukah, maybe v'ene koyer. However, from Sukkot until Chanukah, it's still a time of avos bikurim, but it's not a time of great joy, of simcha, and therefore you bring it, but don't read the parsha bikurim. So the point of v'samachta b'chalatoiv is coming to teach us that the kriya of the parsha bikurim only takes place during the time of simcha. But Reb Shimon still maintains that the actual bikurim can be eaten even when a person is in a state of non-simcha, state of aninus. Let's take a look at Rashi inside. It's right in the middle of the amid. You'll notice the word truma. Truma muteres loinen. This is Reb Shimon speaking. That just as truma is mutal oinen, likewise bikurim. How do you know truma is mutal oinen? Bivomis ba'orol nafkal, and we learn it from chazori yisayrosa, zoros amartel chavlaninus. Only a non-koin cannot eat, but an oinen can. Hachagasinen, simcha ksivu, v'samachta b'chalatoiv. Says Reb Shimon, that's referring to the zman simcha. V'zman ksiro, l'kita, sh'adam leke, t'vuasai, when in a state of joy and happiness, that's when we say the parsha to express our karas atayv Hashem. When is that? Me'atzeres, beginning from Shavuos. Why not before Shavuos? Because that's the starting point. You cannot bring Bikurim before Shavuos. The snan b'manocha is Eim Nevim Bikurim Kodem La'atzeres. Sheshtei HaLechem Shel Atzeres, the two lechem that we bring on Shavuos, that kicks off the Bikurim season. Matirin Havas Bikurim, the Bikurim Ikru, they're called Bikurim, so that's the initiation. Yechsiv HaBiyom Bikurim Bakrifchem Chadosha, Sheshtei HaLechem, which are brought on Atzeres, which are called Bikurim, that's the initiation of the Karbonis brought from the new crop. So the Bikurim that we bring has to follow the Shtei HaLechem. So you bring from Atzeres up until Va'ad HaChag, until Sukkot, Shebetzeich HaZman HaZeh, Zman LeKita V'Smech B'Masav. That's the Simcha season throughout the year for the farmer. So he brings and he reads the parsha. However, Me'achag V'Ad Chanukah, Ein Zman Simcha, that's not truly Zman Simcha, Ve'Ein Ikaris. Although he brings, but without the parsha. Me'achanukah V'Eilach, past Chanukah, Ein Zman Havo, you don't bring at all. The Sani B'Sifri, Asher Tavi Ma'arzach, this is the pasuk by Bikurim, which indicates that Kol Zman Shemetzun Al Pnei Arzach, the produce needs to still be around and available. But once it's unavailable for the animals, that's not called Tavi Me'artzecha, and therefore it's no longer a Zman Havav Bikurim. So in conclusion, we learned about producing Matzah's Mitzvah from Matzah Sheni, according to Reis Yaglili. You may not. The Pasuk says Lechem Oini. The Drasha is as though it would be Oini with an Aleph, something which can be eaten when a person is in a state of aninus, as opposed to Maaseh Sheni, which cannot be eaten when a person is in Oinin, Ela B'Simcha. Rabbi Akiva doesn't have that drasha, and therefore he says Maaseh Sheni is Roi for Maaseh Mitzvah. All agree that Bikurim is unsuitable. We learn that from the Pasuk, B'chol Mashri Seichem. You can only use material which can be eaten all over, all your places of dwelling, as opposed to Bikurim, which is limited to Yerushalayim. And the Gemara concluded that actually Rabbi Yisrael Glili, who learns Bikurim from Chumash Meseichem and not from that same Pasuk that he used for Maaseh Sheni, apparently he holds, like Rabbi Shimon, that Bikurim is Necha Baninus. Right? Because although the Pasuk speaks about Simcha, that's in reference to the Zman Simcha, but the Bikurim themselves can be eaten Baninus. Therefore, the Pasuk of Ba'ini, which excludes the Oinen, only applies to Maaseh Sheni, not to Bikurim, which can, in fact, be eaten by Ninus. Therefore, he needs the Pasuk of Chumash HaSeichem to teach us that. What about producing matzah using Yain, Shemen, and Dvash? So, Moshe says, according to Rekiva, we learn from Lechem Ani that the Lechem used for the first night, the Choyves Matzah, must be strictly flour and water, as opposed to Yain, Shemen, and Dvash that create a matzah shir. However, past that first night, where there's no requirement of lechem oini, so could a person produce his matzah using these materials? According to Rama Gamliel, you burn it immediately because meperis can expedite the chametz process, and we're concerned about immediate chametz. According to Chacham, we're not so concerned. Go ahead and bake it and eat it. Now, regarding using lukewarm water, and regarding the sisa, which is the soaking of the grain prior to crushing, so when it comes to using lukewarm water, a person on his own should not go ahead and create his matzah using lukewarm water, which can expedite the chimitz process. When it comes to a mincha, we allow it, as the Gemara explains, because it's been Malkum's reason, although that the Kohanim themselves are not doing it, but the Yisrael is doing it in the presence of Kohanim, who look over to him and instruct him, make sure that his process will not produce chametz, and therefore there's no concern. When it comes to soaking lasisa, so a minchas yachet, where the grain is soaked back at home, that carries a concern of chametz, and therefore should not be soaked. When it comes to a minchas tzibah, like minchas oimer, where there's bezin involved, the kohanim involved, in that case, we learn in a mishnah that they would actually, in a brisa, they would actually go ahead and soak the kernels for the minchas oimer. There's no concern of chametz. Continues the Gemara. So we learned about lechem oini. It has to be something which resembles a poor man's bread. So we discussed the content. Now we're going to discuss the design and the shape. Tan Rabbanan. Lechem Oini. Prat L'cholot. As opposed to matzah which was scalded. So So they would scald it with hot water and then bake it. It would have this chashivas look to it. Ula ashisha, as opposed to matzah, which is ashisha, a very large size, prominent looking piece of matzah. So that doesn't conform to oily, and therefore it's not kosher for matzah mitzvah. That's the case, perhaps. A person could only be yoytzeh mitzvah matzah with pas hadra, Rashi says. Hadra means that the entire hider, the beauty was removed, meaning it's whole grain full of the chaff and the bran. So it's actually a euphemism. Hadra is nice and beautiful. So it's a euphemism. Pas hadra meaning the beauty was removed. It's full of the impurities. If it needs to be lechem oini, poor man's bread, perhaps, has to really conform all the way. Tamaloyma matzis matzis riba. That's coming to include even this type of bread. Afilu kematzis shoshloyma, even if it's matzah produced from refined flour, which was used by Shlomo HaMelech, that's okay. Im kema tamaloyma lechem oini. That's the case. What is lechem oini coming to exclude? If you allow this high quality matzah. So what is lechem oini coming to exclude? Prat lechol lashisha, as opposed to the cholet and the ashisha, which are not your typical standard type of bread. So yeah, if it's high quality, just refined, that's okay, as long as it's standard bread made from flour and water. But if it's cholut and ashisha, undergoes these special, unique processes, which gives it that prominent look, then it doesn't conform to lechem oini, and it's unsuitable for matzah mitzvah. So cholut was the scalded one, ashisha is this large size loaf of bread, which gives chashivus. Umay mashma dahay ashisha lishna de chashivusa. How do you know that this ashisha is in reference to a jumbo-sized matzah which has prominence, the chsiv, vayechalek l'chol ha'om l'chol ha'mon Yisrael? This was when Shlomo HaMelech brought the oren back to Ir David, actually David HaMelech. So he brought the oren back to Ir David. So he handed out l'chol ha'om l'chol ha'mon Yisrael l'me'ish v'ad isha l'ish chalas lechem achas. So he gave him one loaf of bread. Va'ash parecha. What does this mean? Ashpar echad means a very large portion of meat. Echad mishisha bepar, 1/6 of a bowl. Ashisha is echad mishisha be'efa. It was such a large size baked item, it was 1/6 of an efa, huge. So you see that ashisha is a large sized baked good. Oplega de Shmuel, actually this interpretation of ashisha is in dispute of Shmuel. Dama Shmuel, ashisha is actually referring to garba de chamra, this pitcher, this container, with wine. Tchsiv vayuhave ashishi anovim, those who love the containers of wine. Okay, so time for a brief chazar of today's daf. We learned about the drasha using the pasuk lechem oini. So according to Rabbi Yitzhak Lili, that is applied to exclude Masir Sheni, because oini read as though it would be with an aleph. Is referring to the time of Ad Ninos, and Matzah Sheni cannot be eaten when a person is an Oinin. Therefore, the matzah as well cannot be produced using Matzah Sheni material. According to Rekiva, we focus on the ksiv of the pasuk, Lechem Oni, Ayin and Nun Yud, and therefore it's not coming to teach us anything about Oini, about Aninos. And therefore, according to him, Matzah Sheni is suitable for Matzah Mitzvah. All agree that Bikurim cannot be used, B'chomash Seichem, it needs to be something eaten all over the place. And regarding producing matzah using Yayin Shem and Dvash, the first night, according to Rekiva, that doesn't conform to Lechem Oini. It needs to be simple ingredients, not enriched. Regarding the rest of the days of Pesach, according to Gamliel, it carries a concern of chametz, you have to burn it. According to Chametz, there's no concern. All agree that Peshrin are unsuitable to make matzah, but when it comes to Mincha, since it's been Makam Mizrizim, there's no concern of chimutz. When it comes to soaking the kernels, when it comes to Mincha Asiyachet, which he does in the privacy of his home, he shouldn't do it. However, Minchas Oimer, which is done in public, there's the bezin involved, there's no concern about chimutz. And we learned about lechem oini, and we had three applications. Number one, regarding the content, the ingredients, has to be pure flour and water. Number two, regarding the contour, the shape, the design, it can't look overly chashev, prat l'cholot v'ashisha. And finally, we learned that lechem oini is also in reference to the activity done with the bread. Lechem she'oin olav, Dvarim Harei, which Rashi explains in reference to the Haggadah and the Halal, which are said in the presence of Matzah.